With the document still in each hand, back into my chair I climbed, and not a moment too soon. Once sitting upright in my chair, Ginny Meredith, the Dallas division analyst I requested to return to the ETF, just happened to walk into the office. With barely even saying hi to her, I immediately handed her my copy of T-137. I asked her to read it and tell me what she noticed about it, if anything. In the meantime, I began thumbing through my well-worn edition of the manifesto. For some reason, it was block-stamped into my brain, and I remembered exactly where to go. Paragraph 185. Yep, there it is. The paragraph itself was actually a very short one. It read in whole, "As for the negative consequences of eliminating industrial society, well, you can't eat your cake and have it too. To gain one thing, you have to sacrifice another." I read the above paragraph 185 to myself thrice, just to make sure I had it right. Upon Ginny completing her read of T-137, she said to me, "Hey, Jim, there's that eat your cake expression, the same as in U-14. Did you see this?" Before responding to her, I stood up and high-fived her. I gave her a quick hug, too. She high-fived and hugged back, but as intelligent and as excellent an analyst she was, I don't think she had quite picked up then the significance of this distinctive, if not unique, finding. I certainly did, though. Now, who do I call first with this news?
The playing fields are so level and there is so little differentiation among the rivals that one should expect cutthroat, tooth and nail, dog-eat-dog competition, fleeting profitability, and unsustainable leadership. And for many companies, that's how it is. Yet a few leaders are way out ahead, chased but never caught, generating a greater range and a higher quality of products and services, responding more quickly to the changing market, with fewer people, fewer resources, and fewer mishaps and accidents. While everyone else struggles to keep up, these high-velocity organizations race from success to success with growing market share, profitability.
When the envelope arrived from Benefice Hospitals in Great Falls, I took it from the mailbox and brought it to my office, where it sat unopened for several days. I had not forgotten about it. I was still curious about what was inside, but I was also uneasy about opening it. As a Benefice record keeper had told me in advance, the envelope contained the final medical records of my maternal grandfather, Leroy Belote, and cursory information about the cause of death of his 22-year-old sister, Irene.
When I started working for Frank, I had no idea what my job description was. For the first couple of weeks, I rode around with Frank as he touched base with various people he dealt with. It was good because I got to know who he knew and I met some interesting characters. During that time, I felt Frank was feeling me out, watching how I conducted myself and figuring out where I'd be the most productive. Frank owned a very big complex in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn, and he asked me if I'd mind collecting some rents for him. I said okay, but before I did that, he assigned me to clean out the basement of the building.
In 2018, yet another true crime show is re-examining the case, Missing Time, on the Discovery ID Network. At the same time, this case continues to surprise me with its twists and turns. Recent court filings have presented yet another accusation of a conspiracy to commit murder from one of Schwartz's main accusers. The information in this book was gleaned from law enforcement reports, transcripts, and other documents within the public domain from related criminal and civil court cases, trial testimony, newspaper accounts of the case, and independent research. Some of this information has never been presented outside of court documents. Some of this information jurors didn't hear. Some of this information people involved in the case don't want you to know.